Okay, what the latest story being carried on Al Jazeera is that Israel seizes Rafah crossing and cuts off aid route. We joined this afternoon by Nadia Hardman, refugee and migrant rights researcher at Human Rights Watch. Nadia, greetings and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Can you elaborate on the humanitarian situation in Rafah, considering its status as the main refuge for displaced Palestinians amid the ongoing conflict?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a horrifying situation. I've been speaking to people throughout the conflict that have been displaced multiple times, and you know, the vast majority of them are seeking shelter in Rafah. We know that the majority of Gaza is stuffed into this tiny sliver of land on the border with Egypt. It was never designed to cope with the influx of displaced people. Humanitarians are consistently, you know, telling the world that they are not equipped to deal with this number of people, especially under a blockade and the restrictions and humanitarian aid that obviously they experience. And, you know, people are desperate most of the time, grieving the loss of loved ones, starving, desperate to try to get clean water and enough food to survive the day. And now, of course, faced with evacuation orders from people from the east. And you know, fundamental to all this is there is nowhere safe to go. So people have been told to evacuate, waiting for a military offensive that, you know, will be a bloodbath if it takes place inside Rafah. But important just to keep on repeating, there is nowhere safe to evacuate people to. I spoke to people yesterday who said, yes, it was true. They had received evacuation orders, but they didn't know where to go. And having been displaced so many times and living in a tent and just so tired and miserable, they couldn't contemplate the idea of having to plan a next move to where is always the continuous refrain from people.
Human Rights Watch has highlighted the legal prohibition against forced displacement of civilians in international humanitarian law. How does this directive from the Israeli Prime Minister align with these legal principles?
Yeah, look, I mean, the law on forced displacement is pretty clear under international humanitarian law and the Geneva Conventions. You are only allowed to displace people in really the most extreme circumstances when it's for their safety and for an imperative military reason. And it has to be temporary, and you have to find space for people to go to, and you have to do it in a way that is, as I said, for their safety, and that there are safeguards. People have access to basic, you know, hygiene equipment and food, etc. When Israel is using starvation as a weapon of war, it is clear that those displacement safeguards have not been adhered to. And it's also clear that evacuating people, you know, en masse to areas which are not safe, which are then attacked, you know, continuously, we've seen the safe zones change, shift, move from being safe zones to battlegrounds. This is not how the law on evacuation and displacement works. Instead, you know, we see mounting evidence that it's forcible displacement, that it's a war crime. You know, and this is what we're looking at. Another important point is that the population must be returned once, you know, hostilities have ended. Now, what we see Israel doing is rendering the strip uninhabitable through the widespread destruction and the way in which the military operations have been conducted. So yes, we are seeing mounting and increasing evidence of forcible displacement. And these kind of evacuation orders are simply unlawful. They are impossible to follow. And when there is nowhere safe to go, that's another reason why they are unlawful.
The International Court of Justice recently issued the provisional measures in South Africa's case against Israel, highlighting the need to prevent genocide and ensure humanitarian assistance for Palestinians in Gaza. How does this legal context intersect with the situation in Rafah?
I mean, what's, you know, what the provisional measures orders have made clear is that, you know, Israel should be increasing humanitarian aid in the Strip. You know, that's one very important point in which it made an additional provisional measures order recently. So, you know, the situation right now is that Israel has control of the, I think from today, of the Rafah crossing. You know, we need to see the mass facilitation of aid that reaches people. There has to be an easing of the blockade, and, it, you know, humanitarians have been saying this pretty significantly throughout the context and the conflict. And that order, you know, is something that we have to see if Israel will adhere to it. You know, since the original order was made some months back, we understand that actually the number of, you know, the aid that actually was making it into Gaza was less than before the order was made. So I don't know the recent statistics, but it's a dire and desperate situation. And, you know, what I know speaking to people is that, again, the struggle to live every day, to find enough food is a constant battle. And again, this in the context of having lost their homes, moved from place to place, grieving loved ones, and barely surviving, you know, without access to continuous medical support, and just knowing that their lives have been altered so dramatically. It's a desperate situation.
Hamas says it has agreed to an Egyptian Qatari proposal. Will this change anything?
I mean, I don't know. I have a personal opinion, but as a political analyst, I'm a researcher, and you know, on human rights violations in the Strip. I hope so. That's the only thing. You know, we obviously want to see a situation where people aren't living in a constant fear of what might happen next. But I think it's important to underline that the evacuation orders from yesterday still stand. So, you know, while the political negotiations and machinations are going on in the background, people have been told to leave. And that's what they're doing, because they know that the predictability of the situation is, you know, it's chaos. No one knows what will happen next. And, you do see continuing airstrikes. And so people are still terrified and are leaving if they can. You have seen these images, I'm sure, of people trying to make their way from Rafah to various areas. Again, nowhere is safe, but people do understand that, you know, there may be a military operation or offensive very soon. So that still stands while the negotiations are going on in the background, but we'll see how they play out.
Certainly. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, as we follow what's happening at Rafah, Israel has taken control of the Rafah border crossing. They have separated it and disconnected it from Salah Uddin Road. And the fact that 56 people have now already been killed in the last 24 hours, hundreds injured, our du'as continue to be with the people of Gaza. Stay tuned.